Welcome to the World of Women Create podcast series, where we bring you the magical and innovative worlds of artisans and makers from the pages of our magazines, Where Women Create and What Women Create, along with special guests who are entrepreneurs and experts in their fields. We love to share great conversation with extraordinary women, women you may be very familiar with and others you may not know. My name is Jennifer Blott, and I am the editor-in-chief of Women Create. It is my pleasure to welcome you, our listeners, and all of our guests as we explore the ups and downs, challenges and triumphs, exhilaration and immense joy of living a creative life. A creative life is a life that's rarely stagnant and always leading us down surprising paths. Thank you for being part of our creative world, the world of Women Create. Welcome. I'm here today with Nicole Bedard, owner of Nicole Bedard Photo and Video. Nicole is a Connecticut-based brand photographer, video storyteller, and marketing strategist with over a decade of experience. She specializes in capturing imagery and videos that help creative entrepreneurs step out from behind their work to showcase their unique processes, enhance their visibility, and make their branding irresistible to their ideal clients. Nicole believes all creatives deserve to feel more confident, connect with more people, and create more of an impact in their industry. And I am thrilled to be here today with Nicole because she took the cover photographs for our fall issue of Where Women Create. Welcome, Nicole.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
We're thrilled. This is really a topic for me that feels long overdue. You're the first photographer I've had on the podcast, and that's terrible because, I mean, to me, photography is so important. It's critical to what we do with our magazines and our storytelling. And I love that you are so proactive and passionate about brand photography. And I really want to know, let's start, what is brand photography?
Sure. Yes. Great question, because a lot of people, it's unclear, especially when I'm going out saying I'm a brand photographer. It's not as easy as saying you're a wedding photographer or a landscape photographer. So I define brand photography as photography with a marketing approach. So all the images created have intention and purpose behind them. So that's how I would define it.
Let me ask you this. Do you ever have people who come to you for portraits or something else who say, you know, this is just for me? Do you only focus on clients or who are looking to use your images for a marketing purpose?
Yes. I mean, throughout my career and anyone starting in photography, it's always beneficial to touch on all the different genres. So you have a breadth of experience, you know what you like, what you don't like. So I've certainly done, you know, the portraiture side of things, but I love supporting businesses and having, they definitely need a portrait for their business. So I lean more towards helping with the marketing side and having a business behind the person.
And you do more than just take the photos. You do more than go out, do the photo shoot and send the photos. You actually work with your clients to show them how to use them strategically for marketing, correct?
Yes, this is a huge piece when you're hiring a brand photographer. There is a lot of front end work that is happening. I'll clarify the difference with a portrait photographer where you may call up, get a studio date, show up in the studio, get your portrait taken. With branding, there's a lot of strategy before the photo shoot even happens. So part of my process is I'm talking with the client, hearing their needs. I'm also doing research on, you know, their website, their social media, and identifying any gaps that I see. And it's a true collaboration. So the next phase of the process, once we're, you know, moving forward, is a strategy meeting, which I typically have over Zoom. And I do a whole presentation on with concept boards to spark inspiration, because many times people are not visually, you know, can see what I'm talking about. So I need to bring everyone on the same page so they know my vision and their vision comes together. So I do a whole presentation which every client is always excited to see, like, what's going to happen. That then generates a shoot list so that we know exactly what we're going to capture on photo shoot day. So if there's an upcoming promotion, if there's a product launch, if they just need an update on their website, we know the images that we need to create. They're always so excited after the strategy call because now they're going to see where this is going and what they're going to have at the end. So that's always critical. It always sparks some other ideas, maybe other props or things that they need to purchase beforehand. So there's a whole, you know, timeline before the photo shoot day ever happens. And in that process, I'm always talking about how they're going to utilize the images, whether it's the images for the promotion, whether it's images they need to talk about different business messaging on social media or on their website. So they, when they receive the images, have a really great understanding of where they're going to play with them.
In general, how long is this process from sort of bringing you on board, concept, photo shoot, and then rolling out the strategy?
I think the tightest timeline might be like a month. Okay. Because I like to have the strategy meeting at least 2 weeks before the photo shoot day. So once someone's on board, we are booking like the photo shoot date and the strategy meeting date. So then we have those on the calendar and we can work kind of backwards from there based on if they need product to come in for the shoot, if they need to order materials for the shoot. So those kind of play into the timeline, but if everything's good to go, it could be like on board to photo shoot day in like a month.
I know that this is a big time commitment and it is a financial investment in their business. And mm-hmm. Is it something that people put in their budget and they're sort of looking at as being a critical part of their marketing budget? Or do you sometimes have to let them know that this is really incredibly important and something you need to invest in?
By the time someone's coming to me and reaching out, they've already reconciled in their mind that this is something they need for their business in order to separate themselves from their industry, or they're ready to, maybe they're in a rebranding project and they know they need higher level photography and they can't just justify what's on like their phone anymore, or they really need a consistent professional look across all their platforms and websites. So they've already reconciled by the time they get to my, you know, inquiry box that this is an investment. And that's another thing different from like other types of photography is the images that I'm capturing for businesses, I want them to generate more business from them. Yeah. So even though there's an upfront investment, I'm putting them in a position where they're going to receive all that back and hopefully even more because they can use these for as many years as they need to until they need another refresh. So that's a big difference and a different like little mind shift that they need to have. And it's not getting your family portraits where you're getting the pictures, you're spending all the money, you're hanging the picture on the wall. It's you're getting these images, you're making these images work for you to generate more business.
So can you give me a sense of, I know you have different levels, I believe, but ballpark of what it would cost someone to do this?
Sure. I have created different tiers because everyone is always in a different place in their business, whether they're starting out or they're, you know, full blown, they need images every quarter. So how I've organized it, and there's always an element of custom too. So if someone's coming to me and they need different elements, we can always make a custom package. But my kind of entry point is what I refer to as like a website redesign. You may not need a ton of images. That package has 15 images included. It's an hour, maybe an hour and a half of time. And that starts a little under $1,000. And that's a local rate where for that amount of time and then the amount of images, that seems like a very fair price to get your website professionally, you know, looking great with you know, supporting copy, everything. So that's kind of like the entry point. Then it can go all the way up to quarterly shoots or yearly shoots too, where it's going to be maybe a little less than 2,000 per quarter. And the difference with those types of shoots is that the client is receiving all the select images. So they could be walking away with 100 images from a 2-hour shoot where they need it for social, they need it for their website. And that's a heavier shoot. They're getting a lot more content. So obviously it's more of an investment.
And I know you worked with Neely Cooper, our cover artist, and she is a stained glass artist. Yes. Give me a sense of some of the other creative entrepreneurs, what sort of fields they're in.
Sure. So I work with, he's a custom furniture maker. And that's been great. I have a candle maker, a calligrapher. We've been working for years, a floral designer. I've been working with her for many years. We always have both photo and video projects. And then like interior designers is another creative field. Painters, artists. I work with a local university and I've covered their entire art school. So they produce a lookbook every year to send out to, you know, potential students. So I've covered all like lifestyle images and images of students in all the different studios. So whether it's glass making or pottery, woodworking, even metalwork. And within that school, they have like a welding department. So those are always interesting shoots because I have to wear the welding mask as well, which is really difficult with photography because you need to see. So that was a real good challenge for in the creative field. But yeah, like I've touched on so many different creative fields, and that's really, I love all the process portions of a session with creative business owners.
That was going to be my other question. So clearly you love seeing what they're doing, they're making in real time versus you're not as interested in doing corporate annual reports and that sort of photography.
Right. Those come up, but like if I can get to a letterpress studio and capture, there's a woman up in Massachusetts that I traveled to. I'm in my glory with all the machinery and what she's creating.
So how do people find you?
So a lot of people have come my way through social media, through Instagram. I really try to promote the businesses that I'm working with. So if we have a shoot, I'm always promoting what we did on the shoot and giving them visibility on my channels as well. And that has really turned into a repeat and referral machine almost, because they're sharing what I shared and it's like reciprocal and we're going back and forth. So a lot of my local base, when I'm doing work or I'm highlighting them or I'm, you know, walking down memory lane and doing a post of something we did last year, that really helps generate a buzz. And then they will land on my website. So then they can be real. I try to be as clear as possible on my website of who I'm for, answering all the questions that they need. And then we start the discovery call process. But I think the majority is that repeat referral is where people find me the most.
You're based in Connecticut. I know that Neely is in New Jersey. So give me a sense of how far you travel for your shoots.
Let's see. I will travel. I'm open to travel. I haven't given myself a boundary, let's say. It really depends on the project, on obviously the budget. A lot of times it may, you know, I've had someone reach out from Atlanta, but I offered to fly down, but she may be up in my area. So that's where we landed. If she gets to my area, we'll do a shoot. But I offered to fly down to get a shoot. And really, it was a budgetary issue. I've gone to North Carolina, and obviously New England is close enough that I can get to Rhode Island and Massachusetts. I'm really open, depending on the project and the budget. So I do love to support all my local clients as well.
You know, I have a newspaper and magazine background, and I have to say that I was really fortunate to be in newspapers at a time when they were still making money and had really robust staffs. There was a huge photography staff, and you wouldn't dream of sending just a reporter to the Olympics and getting your photos through the Associated Press. You sent your photographer, and my own reverence for photography is really, really strong. I did study photography for a little while in college, and I feel like with the current state of things, a lot of newspapers, a lot of other publications feel like the photography is not as essential, because surely everybody can have a pretty nice iPhone and you could just hand the iPhone to the writer or the reporter. And for that reason, I feel that a lot of photographers are not valued and they're not deemed essential as they once were. How do you feel about that? Do you see that in your world at all, that people just don't understand the difference between being able to snap their own images and filter it and make it look kind of cool and having somebody with a professional eye?
I definitely feel like it's been watered down. The value has definitely taken a hit on, you know, I'm just not coming out there to snap some photos. You know, there's always the, it's not a joke, but there's always like in the photography world when people will say, oh, you have such a nice camera, when they see the photos. And it's like, well, the camera didn't take the photos. Yeah. It's the person operating the camera that really is what you're paying for. So I don't run into that too often. Every now and again, I mean, it's happened to me. Every now and again, I'll get the, wow, you must have a really nice camera. Your pictures are amazing. And it's like, well, you know, that's 50, going on 15 years of, you know, developing my eye and all my experience. I think it comes into, people have to understand the value. The value is a big piece. And that's when I really talk about how the images are going to work for them and how what I'm doing on the back end with the strategy piece, they're not getting with just taking a picture of their phone. That's a big gap. So I'm always trying to showcase what value you're getting when you're hiring a professional, because I think that's what's getting hit with everyone having an iPhone and everyone has a camera in their pocket.
Well, I love how you are looking at the big picture, because yes, we do our initial strategy. We do that initial photo shoot, but then it's really prudent to do a refresh down the line, because you're going to want to update your website and refresh. And I like that. A lot of times, I think people think one photo shoot is going to last me forever. But the way the world is with people needing to promote themselves, you need to constantly update.
Yes. And that comes into, people always think of like the headshot. Oh, I've been using my headshot for the past 8 years. I know I need a new headshot. But if they're in a creative business or any business, and you have a website and you're trying to communicate your business message of whatever services you have, you could be a coach, you could have a product line, you could have your own shop, you could have a studio, you need to draw people in. And having an old headshot is not serving you. You need to keep it fresh, because people want to know what's happening. When you're sharing and you're showing your process and you have an updated image, people will invest a little more time into knowing what you're about. And when you have an image of yourself, especially on social media, those are always the most engaging posts. You get so much engagement when someone gets to see you. If you're only posting once a year a picture of yourself, you got to do it more. Or if you never do it, wow, people are going to really go like, so they're going to be so excited when they finally see a picture of who's behind the business.
You know what, Nicole, that is a really great point, because a lot of times I feel like people, they focus on what they're producing, which is huge. That is what they do. But again, you are your brand as well. And they forget, I mean, once in a blue moon, you know, I receive photos from a contributing artist and there won't be very many photos of the artist. Maybe their hands creating, and maybe, you know, from a distance, but
we always need. We want to see your face. We want to see you. You know, you are your story. And yes. I think people sometimes forget that.
Yes, people want to know who they are investing in, yeah. who they are buying from. Yeah. You are like, they want to see the human side of it. If they just want something that there's no connection, they'll go elsewhere. But you're the unique factor to your business. There are thousands upon thousands of photographers, but I put myself out there because someone's going to connect with me and they're hiring me based off of that connection. So that's like how you have to leverage any sort of creative business is making that connection with your potential audience, because there's other people out there where you see them, you hear their talking, you see their process, you may not connect with them and you're like, okay, they're not for me. There's someone else for me. So it's a great way to weed people out too that are coming your way. So I always highly recommend having fresh, updated portraits of yourself, and even better if it can be in your authentic space. If you're in a studio or a workshop, a shop, having all the things around you just adds to your story. So then when someone sees that image, they know exactly what you do, whether you're a painter or you make furniture, you make candles or a letterpress. That always helps just extend the story further instead of just like a headshot with a blank background.
Very well said. And you know, you are serving creative entrepreneurs. You yourself are a creative entrepreneur. So I am guessing you take your own advice quite often. You're constantly, not only are you helping your clients strategize, you're yeah. probably refreshing your own strategy and your own photos and doing it for yourself.
Yes, I have to. I mean, I have to walk the walk. I can't yeah. tell others to be doing it and I can't do the same, you know? So, and I can see what works, what doesn't, how I'm, you know, not everyone is comfortable in front of the camera. Probably most people are not comfortable in front of the camera. I don't want my pictures taken, but I know I need to take them to move my business forward. And I don't take it lightly when someone comes to me and they say, I'm not comfortable in front of the camera, but they're doing it anyways. I am their champion. I am there to get them through that photo shoot because I know the benefits of once they start utilizing the images that they're going to reap. And so I don't take it lightly. I know that people are not comfortable, and that's my number one thing as a photographer. The photos are going to be amazing, but I want you to be comfortable because that comfort translates into better photos.
The other thing is a lot of creative entrepreneurs, a lot of artists with social media, with the way of the modern world, they are in this position of self-promotion, and not everyone is comfortable. It can be really scary. I mean, once upon a time, you know, there was a whole industry of PR that represented and did all that promoting for people, but most people promote themselves. If you're a small artist, you do that. And it can be scary doing it. And how do you advise your clients, you know, putting it out there on social media and promoting yourself, yeah. making yourself look as good as you are?
So there's a couple ways. One, of course, if they have a session, they're going to have a few photos that they can use that show their face. So to do some sort of introduction post, whether it's once a quarter, so people know who you are, you know, you can change it up on like, maybe there's a new project that you're working on. So that's one thing. The other thing is highlighting what makes your business unique, whether it's your location, whether it's the materials that you're using, whether it's the machinery. Tell a story, draw people in. They're going to be more curious. They're going to be your champion when you tell them about how it took a crane to get this letterpress into the studio and now it's here and you can't wait to launch new product. They're going to be there because they love the story and you can really draw them in. The other thing is, because everyone has a phone now, And you can do a lot with a phone. I always recommend people capturing either little snippets of video of them working, or better yet is a time lapse. And there is, you just go onto your phone, onto the phone app, you scroll over, and there is your time lapse setting. A lot of people that I talk about don't even, or talk to, don't even realize that function is there. And they think everyone's like putting all these images together. And it seems daunting. You actually have a setting on your phone ready to go, and you can set it up at a distance in your workshop and just go along your daily activities, whether you're setting up your workspace, and maybe in 5 minutes, you have a couple seconds of a time lapse. And people love these. One, you're in it, so they're seeing you, but you don't have to say anything. You don't have to look at the camera. You don't have to explain anything. It's a nice little snippet of time with you. And you can use that as a reel. You could use it in your stories and then add some context. Maybe you're setting up your studio or your space for a big project that you're so excited about. You can talk about it in the caption. So just having hands and close-up details of your hands working, that is humanizing your content, and people know it's you. You know, like, it just makes that visual link instead of just having the end result product shot ready to go. You're not involving a story there. So those are some tips that really, really makes social media sing for a creative business owner.
Those are great tips. And I think as social media evolves, I mean, we're going to have to get more and more nimble at all kinds of interesting ways to catch people's attention.
Yes.
You know, you call yourself a video storyteller. Tell me about that.
So probably 7 years ago, I started dabbling into video, and it was really for my own business purposes. I wanted to just be more wise on how to capture better video for my business. So then I could, like we were talking before, people could see me, get a sense of what I do during photo shoot days. And then it also involved, I wanted to create a YouTube channel. So I wanted to be more on camera and provide education for people, whether they're a brand photographer or a creative business. So that's when I really started getting into video. And from there, then I had my brand clients asking me for video. And I really, it's just an extension of that story with stills. I can now put it in motion. So it's their brand story more in motion, and we could craft more elements of their story, whether it's the process. I just recently did a project with a floral designer. We needed to highlight her process of working with a bride. And it just will help her market her business more when someone reaches out. They have a better understanding of what it's going to be like to work with them. And we've done a marketing video to highlight why she loves flowers and how she got into the business. It's all making those connections. And that's where I feel like the storytelling is just continued, but in another creative format.
How did your career come about? Was there a time before photography?
Yes. So photography was a career pivot 15 years ago. And it's funny because all my jobs or professions prior really honed my skills and all the client management that I need for my creative business. So right before photography, I was an intelligence analyst for the government. So very not non-creative, lots of spreadsheets. And I walked by a photography school. It was actually a satellite campus for Boston University in Georgetown. I walked by the school for a year. Every time I walked by, I always thought to myself, how great would that be? I was always a kid with a camera, and I document, when I look back at all like the childhood photos from like Christmas and all the different holidays, I'm like, where am I? And I realize I'm taking the photos. So I've always been one to like document friends during like high school time, but I wasn't ever one, like I was more of like the athlete in school. So it was more like a hobby, something I enjoyed documenting and doing. So not to really stretch out, but I've always had this creative curiosity with, you know, photography early on, then going into a traditional college, then going into graduate school. I always had creative projects milling about in the background. And when I first got, you know, the big job out of school, the creative side of my brain was just screaming to like really dive deeper. That job happened to be in Massachusetts, and that is where I grew up, in Massachusetts. And I knew the Rhode Island School of Design was not too far down in Rhode Island. And I thought, this is my chance. I'm close. I'm like an hour or so away. I don't know if I'm ever going to be this close again. So I went to an information session for interior design, and I signed up the next day. So I had my full-time job. And so when I went to RISD, that was really my creative unlock. I've never seen that world. I've never seen studios. I've never, you know, talked with other creatives. And that experience, although my interior design career didn't, you know, it didn't go down that path, it set me up for being willing and ready for photography school. And so a few years later, when I finally did go to another information session for the school, and the next day signed up, I haven't looked back since. So I started and I kept going.
Okay, so what did that look like? You had a full-time day job, but you were taking night classes or weekend or online? Or
they were at the time, so 15 years ago, there wasn't as much online as, and I, back then, it's like, if you wanted to pivot, you had to go back to school type of mentality. So it was all like after work, getting on the train with all my gear, you know, walking to the campus, and I'd get out at like 11 o'clock at night and then start it again. So it took a couple years. Yeah. And I would just, that was just a new way of life, of just folding it in. Because when you, I always thought, oh, I could never do school. Once I was out of my regular
already master's, did a lot of school. You had a master's degree. Yeah.
After I graduated graduate school, I was like, okay, no more school. Got the school out of my system. And when people would come to night classes in graduate school, I'm like, how are they doing that? Like, I don't know if I could ever do that. But when you're really passionate about the topic and what you're going to learn, and it doesn't matter, it's like you make it happen. So I was in a great period of my life where I could make that happen and go through that whole program. And like I said, never look back.
And at that point, were you doing any darkroom developing, any of that, or just solely digital?
Solely digital. I've never done a dark room. I mean, back in the day, everything was like, when I was in high school, it was film, but it was more like you drop it off at CVS. So I've never done the dark room, but it was a digital photography program. And what was great is that it forced me to touch on all different genres, whether I was interested in it or not. I pulled a lesson. I pulled something from each class that made me a better photographer at the end.
Well, I can tell you, I can still, if I close my eyes, smell the chemicals. Tri-X, we use Tri-X film, you know, and if you agitated your canister too much, it would be too grainy. And I love photography and I had a good eye, but boy, the technical stuff and leaving it in the fixer too long where it yellows. And I'm glad you don't have to deal with that.
Yes, me too.
Though, you know, it had its magic. It had its magic.
People are going back to it.
Yeah. Oh, there's a black and white photography. I mean, I love it. And I love the, on one hand, there's a magic to seeing the image develop, and it's just a different way of doing it. Though most of the professionals I know are strictly digital these days.
Okay. Yep.
So you went to night school, you completed your education in photography, and how did you transition from that full-time job, the analyst position, to doing this, to launching your own business?
It was the big move to Connecticut. So my husband, we transferred to Connecticut for his job, and that was the break that I was waiting for. So it was like, as soon as we left, because we were down in like the DC area, then I'm like, okay, I'm gonna try this full time. And it was more okay, sink or swim type of thing, and go for it. And I had some bigger clients. I was working photography while I'm working full time while I'm also going to school. So I was trying to get clients. So I had, at when I was beginning, I was more sport and fitness. So I had a contract with a bigger company where I would travel every once in a while on the weekends. And then when we moved to Connecticut, it ended up folding into a contract with Reebok. So I had some bigger projects. It wasn't until I had my son that I really wanted to be more local and then take my kind of commercial photography eye to a more local level in businesses here.
And when you meet with people in your locals who are not far from you, do you visit them? Do you go visit them in their workspace or wherever their business is, or do they come to you?
Love going on location. I love shooting in their authentic spaces. It just makes much better imagery than going to a studio. Now, if you need a studio for a reason, we can do that, but that's really for like unique clients. It could be a coach, someone that may not have a space, a coach, someone that may have a product line and they want more product focus images. A studio may be more appropriate, but I love going to a workshop or a studio.
I don't blame you. And actually, you bring that up though. We are meeting more and more creative coaches, and that can be very difficult to illustrate. You know, you have the photo of them, but it's maybe a few on location workshops. That's a tougher one to illustrate.
Yeah. You really have to pull in a lot of props, kind of make it unique to you. A lot of studios are doing a great job where it's more environmental. So they'll have little vignettes that you can utilize that may lean towards your vibe more than others, like a comfy chair versus like a metal chair. And you really think of how you're coming across. But, you know, there may be a bookshelf where we can accessorize with your things. And that's a great way to kind of help coaches in that matter.
So what do you do in your free time? Sounds like you have a lot going on. You're a mom. What do you do?
If I give myself free time, it's so hard to turn your brain off, especially I think for creatives. So I recently just came back from Cape Cod. That is like a recharge, reset space for me. So I love the ocean and being down there in that like coastal environment. That's like definitely a go-to spot when I want to try to step away. But yeah, it's just really family life. When I have time, I love to bake, but that's far and few between. But just juggling mom life and creative life. If I'm not creating for someone else, then I'm creating for myself and doing all the business things on my end as well.
And with what you do, my guess is you're at Cape Cod, you're doing things with your son, but you're always behind the camera there too, right? Documenting all these great moments.
That's right. Lots of images.
One thing we didn't touch on is the fact that you do some pretty amazing things when you go on shoots. You do drone photography. I know for our issue, the fall issue of Where Women Create, you have this incredible image looking down on the stained glass cabin in the woods from above.
Yes.
When do you bring drones into your process?
So I had always wanted a drone. I just love that bird's eye view perspective. And I capture that perspective a lot in my photography. I'm always climbing a ladder. I have a ladder with me at all times. I love that workshop overview image. And I've wanted a drone for years. And I was intimidated by the whole process and the FAA testing. And I just had like all this angst about it. And finally I was like, why not me? Why couldn't I get past it? So I took a leap of faith, I guess. And I was just like, nope, I'm going to do it. I'm finally going to get my license. And I did. And I bought the drone and it's so much fun. I love the perspective. I wasn't sure how I was going to apply it to many of my projects because I'm always typically indoors. But man, since getting that drone and utilizing it for my clients, there's been definitely some great projects that have come my way that I would have never thought of. And that feature was a great example because as soon as I saw her glass cabin outside, I knew I was bringing my drone for photography and like some video clips. So I'm so glad that I, you know, just went for it and I got it. And it's been great because I'm not a typical drone pilot where it's all landscapes and I'm, you know, in Iceland with volcano, you know, like I want to bring it down. Like there's been a tulip farmer that I worked with and just showing someone's process from above when they have such like a unique business, it's just brings even more impact for their messaging.
Absolutely. There was no way for us to really know what that cabin was like with all of the ceiling panels. And you look down and it gave it a completely different perspective that was just awesome.
Yeah.
Really amazing.
Yeah. It was like the universe just brought it all together because I had dreamed so long of drone photography. And then like that project just was amazing.
Your tips and your philosophy on capturing the creative entrepreneur's business and their day-to-day are so valuable, especially because our magazines are very, very visual. And some of our contributing artists, they really struggle with their photography. There are many, many reasons. Sometimes they live in a remote place and it's hard for them to find a professional. So they'll try to take their own photos or maybe have a family member do it. And sometimes, I must say, it turns out beautifully. Some of our artists take tremendous photos, but sometimes, quite often the photography can be a barrier to sort of having that artist put everything together. And I'm thinking of a recent story, and the artist was not able to find a professional and relied on someone in the family, but there wasn't an understanding of what high resolution was or depth of field or how you work with low light. And everything came together. You know, it wasn't easy and we worked together and she was wonderful. But one thing I mentioned to her is you owe it to yourself, even, you know, after this magazine comes out, no matter what you do, it was very clear to me that she did not have a professional portfolio of her work. I said, you have to have that for yourself, especially a lot of people, they sort of keep their timeline on their Instagram account or it's in their phone. Maybe they keep track of what they've sold on Etsy and that's sort of the archive. But I think it's critical to document everything you do. And so say somebody perhaps isn't going to invest in a full strategic plan with you on building their brand, what would you say? What would be your words of wisdom to someone? Just, you're a creative, you create unique, one of a kind works of art. This is what you need to do to document it.
Oh, that breaks my heart. Just hearing someone that is doing this as a business, like it's not a hobby. You need to be represented professionally. And it is very hard to capture images of yourself trying to be creative. I know I've tried to take portraits for myself. It's a photographer or someone that has a professional eye is not just taking in what you're doing. They're taking in everything around you, the lighting, how your clothing is falling, how your hair is falling, like all these pieces. We are looking at everything to compose a great shot. And just to have professional photos, even if it's your work, to have that catalog is worth it, because people need, if someone's going to invest in a piece of your art, let's say, they need to really see it. If they can't see it in person, then you better have better, like really good images so they can see the texture, they can see the type of canvas or the frame that it's in, let's say, or how it's made. I feel like your process images, if you can have someone capture you in your studio with your process, those have so much branding power, because you're building that curiosity again. You're bringing someone in. I look at your visuals as like your modern day storefront. If someone's walking by Main Street and you're creating art from the big window in the front, people are going to stop and look in. And if you have a powerful image to draw people in, they'll want to learn more about you. And yes, lighting is key. And having someone with a professional eye, it's like unmatched, because you're going to set yourself up in a better position and set yourself up for even more success. Because imagine having a bank of images that you can always draw on. And then if the media, like a magazine, reaches out to you, you don't have to stress out about, oh my God, I need images. What am I going to do? You already have a bank of those images. So they're always serving you. So I really would recommend even a small investment, no matter what package, like for me, no matter what package someone chooses, there's always that strategy. Like it doesn't matter if it's the smallest package or the biggest, we're always doing a strategy concept board talking about how to use them, because there's no sense in doing the shoot if you don't know how to make them work for yourself. So I would strongly recommend, if you can do a small investment in just getting a great portrait, your key pieces of work that have done really well and that you could catapult even further if you have those imagery, and then some process shots, that's a good starting base. And then when you put them to work, you realize, oh, wow, like this is really convenient to have these images, because now more people are coming my way. I should invest again. So I know people want to have their art speak for themselves, but they really want to know who are they investing in? Who are they buying from?
I love it. You keep bringing back to the person behind the art, the creator behind the creation. I want you to leave us with just one little thing. Anything on the horizon, any goals for you for the rest of 2024?
Yeah. So I've been working so hard for probably half the year already on probably my best course yet. So as a brand photographer, working with businesses and hearing the stories like what you've shared, I want creative businesses, especially, to really have support, whether it's visuals for still images or video. And since I have been supporting my brands with video, and I know so many brand photographers are now getting asked, oh, do you do video as well? I've created a course, and it's the course that I wish I had 5 years ago. It's called Press Record. It's a video 101 course for brand photographers, and I'm so excited. So that's going to be all coming to light at the end of September.
You're something else, Nicole. I get the impression you're juggling so much and you're doing it with so much grace and wonderful.
I appreciate it.
I really appreciate having you on our podcast today. Your photos are amazing. Your words really resonate. You outline everything in a very simple yet very powerful way for what the simple things you need to do if you are a creative entrepreneur and you need to market yourself.
I try. That's what I...
Well, you're doing a great job. Thank you again for joining us.
Thank you. This has been so fun. I love talking about branding. I want every creative out there to step in front of that camera and get their face out there so people can invest and, you know, just love what the craft that you do. So don't be afraid. Just take that first step and your brand photographer will take good care of you from then on out.
Thank you, Nicole.
Thank you so much.
Thank you again for joining us today for our World of Women Create podcast. In a world filled with endless stories, it is our mission to share the memorable personal journeys and lessons learned of the extraordinary women in our community. Their stories are stories that enlighten us, inform us, and ignite the creativity that lives in each of us. Women Create is grateful that you are part of our creative world.